Iditarod Update.
Iditarod on KNOM is brought to you by NSEDC, participating in the Bering Sea Fisheries to provide economic development through education, employment, training, and financial assistance to our member communities. Learn more at nsedc.com.
Day 5 of Iditarod 41 and mushers on the brink of hitting the Yukon River. My name is David Dodman in Studio A with Dainé Rosales. Hi, Dainé.
Hello, David.
And this is your 5 p.m. Iditarod update. Thank you for joining us once again. And Dainé, we have a very interesting race. I think that's always safe to say about Iditarod, but this year some really interesting just factors to consider. We have weather to think about. We have some perhaps non-ideal trail to consider, and mushers taking 24-hour layovers at different times and kind of throwing a wrench into our mathematics and lots of different variables. So let's get right to it. We have one musher and one musher only who is out of the Iditarod checkpoint. Again, the checkpoint called Iditarod, and that is four-time champion Martin Boozer in first position, left Iditarod at 2 p.m. exactly this afternoon with all 14 dogs. We have 12 mushers who are into Iditarod and not yet out. And those mushers have a mixture of those who have taken their 24-hour layover, the mandatory 24, and those who have not. So some of the mushers who are in Iditarod, again, the Iditarod checkpoint right now, have not yet taken that crucial 24-hour layover. And at the top of that list, Lance Mackey into Iditarod at 8:36 last night, 13 dogs. Again, a musher that we're going to be paying a very close attention to. Lance Mackey had some great times earlier in this race, and for a team that he said was kind of his B team, his puppy team, Dainé, Lance Mackey has been doing very well, but right now is taking his 24-hour layover and would be eligible to depart at 8:36, except for the fact that he has a starting differential to make up, like all the mushers do. Lance Mackey in at 8:36, but will not be eligible to depart Iditarod until 10:40 tonight. And nipping at his heels, or in this case actually leaving before him, will likely be Sonny Lindner. Sonny Lindner in third position right now into Iditarod at 10:07 last night. Sonny Lindner, Dainé, was the last musher to leave Willow on Sunday, so he has no starting differential to make up at all and can leave at 10:07 tonight, 33 minutes before Lance Mackey if he chooses. Jeff King is in fourth position into Iditarod at 1:06 early this morning, 15 dogs. Gnome's own Aaron Burmeister rounding out the top five into Iditarod at 12:46 this afternoon, 15 dogs. He is the first of our mushers, aside from Martin Boozer, to have finished his 24-hour layover. Burmeister has the 24 in the bag. So at this point, he could leave Iditarod kind of whenever he wants to, Dainé. But looking at the GPS tracker, as of right now, Aaron Burmeister is still in the Iditarod checkpoint. That green number 24, still at that Iditarod checkpoint. Mitch Seavey is in sixth position into Iditarod at 2:18 this afternoon. And Mitch has 13 dogs, also has completed his 24. Jason Mackey into Iditarod at 2:45, 13 dogs, 7th position. Jake Berkowitz, 8th position, into Iditarod at 3:25, a full string of 16 dogs. Right now, the only musher we've mentioned that has a full string of 16. Jake Berkowitz also has taken his 24. Jim Lanier into Iditarod in 9th position, rather, at 3:30 this afternoon, 14 dogs. Nicholas Petit rounding out the top 10 into Iditarod at 4:09 this afternoon, 14 dogs for Nicholas. We have some relatively new information here about your Leifseth Olsom, who was into Iditarod at 4:33. Olsom currently our top rookie, 14 dogs for your. Ray Reddington Jr. into Iditarod at 4:37 with 14 dogs. And Paul Gebhardt rounding out that group of mushers into Iditarod at 4:41 p.m. with 14 dogs. We're going to go now to Lorelai Kinnean, who's been waiting patiently and has been following all the ins and outs of this Iditarod 41. Lorelai, can you hear me?
Yeah, David, I am currently in Anvik at the checkpoint. Was in Iditarod earlier Late this morning and into this afternoon, so a lot of action going on. I talked to four mushers who were at the Iditarod checkpoint this afternoon, including Martin Boozer, Aaron Burmeister, Lance Mackey, and Sonny Lindner. We have a race, and it's a race to the Yukon at this point. Most likely it will be Martin Boozer who will be first to Anvik sometime early this morning. So I'm waiting here in Anvik for, you know, the first musher's arrival, because there will be a nice prize once they get here. That's what's been going on. There's a lot of hills, David, in flying over here from Iditarod this afternoon. This is just hilly country, so a lot of running. We flew over Martin Boozer, who of course is on the trail, to Shagluck at this point, and when we flew over, he was running up a hill. He was literally running behind the sled, and it's not going to end. I just got an alert saying I have 1 minute of call time, so I'll make this really brief. Again, a lot of hills, and mushers who were in Iditarod were ready to roll, and they'll be leaving late tonight. The race is definitely heating up, and I'll be reporting all day tomorrow from Anvik as mushers come in and arrive, and I speak with them. So reporting from Anvik for Iditarod 41, I'm Lorelei Kinnean.
Great. Thank you, Lorelei, and safe travels. We'll talk to you soon. So again, that's Lorelei Kinnean from Anvik. Going to be hearing a lot of her interviews as the next 12 to 24 hours work out there, Dainey. And definitely something that is confirmed. Lorelei was talking about the hilliness of the trail from Iditarod to Shagluck. Definitely something that the official Iditarod description talks about as well. They say that it's a 65-mile trail to Shagluck, but it can feel like 100 because it's so unendingly hilly. That brings up a great point, which is how long it takes to get from Iditarod to Shagluck. Again, it's about 65 miles, but the trail can take anywhere from 7 to 10 hours, depending on conditions here. So we might expect that Martin Boozer gets into Shagluck Dine maybe around midnight-ish tonight, or maybe a little bit earlier, depending on how the trail conditions go.
Is not technically on the Yukon. However, it does count as one of the stops where you can make your 8-hour layover on the Yukon.
Yeah.
And that's pretty new, because since it's not part of the Yukon, you think the first stop available would be Anvik, but Martin Boozer would be eligible to stop in Shagluck if he wants to and do his 8-hour layover there.
Right. And it'll be interesting, you know, you're going to hear in a few moments an interview from Martin Boozer talking with Lorelei Kinnean in the Iditarod checkpoint. And he talks about the possibility of stopping in Shagluck for his mandatory 8-hour layover. And just to backtrack a little bit Dainey, just for our listeners who might not be familiar, there are a number of mandatory layovers in checkpoints that mushers must do in the Iditarod. And one of them is an 8-hour layover somewhere on the Yukon River. The Yukon River checkpoints are Anvik, Grayling, Eagle Island, and Kaltag, but apparently Shagluck also does count as a Yukon River stopover, even though Shagluck counts as a Yukon stop, even though Anvik has the official first to the Yukon prize. So it'd be interesting if Martin Boozer decides to stop in Shagluck for his 8, because it seems like it'd be opening up the possibility that another musher might actually take that prize. But I guess we'll have to see how that plays out. The first to Anvik prize, by the way, is given by the Millennium Hotel. It's the first musher to the Yukon Award, and the musher gets a 7-course meal and $5,000. So over the years, we've seen mushers who arrived in the morning and they have a really lavish breakfast, or in the afternoon they have a really lavish lunch, you know, you get it, get the picture, or they have a really fantastic dinner. So it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out, and Martin Boozer could be in for a very lavish either late night snack. I don't know what you'd have, you know,
depends what time he arrives.
Right. So, you know, if he's to Shagluck, say, around 10 o'clock tonight, apparently it's about 2 to 3 hours to do that 27-mile trail from Shagluck to Anvik. So it could be, you know, 2 in the morning or 5 in the morning. anyway, we'll see. Martin Boozer or someone else is going to be in for a pretty good meal in the hours to come. We have 29 mushers, Thine, on the trail from Ophir to Iditarod, and let's hear about some of those.
And as of 5 p.m., Jesse Royer has arrived into Iditarod. This is news. With 14 dogs.
Okay.
And following behind him is Ellie Zirkel, still on the way from Ophir to Iditarod with 14 dogs. Didi Johnro in 17th position, left Ophir at 3:13 a.m., followed by Dallas Seavey, last year's champion, at 3:30 a.m. with 14 dogs. In 19th position, we have Pete Kaiser of Bethel, going towards Iditarod from Ophir with 14 dogs. In 20th position is Michelle Phillips with 16 dogs as of 4:35 a.m. In 21st position is Ken Anderson. In 22nd is Sim Smith with 16 dogs as of 5:05 a.m. Fran Sass in 23rd position with 13 dogs. John Baker of Kotzebue on his way from Ophir to Iditarod as of 6:12 a.m. Justin Sedavis going to Iditarod as of 6:07 a.m. Kaylee Meissner with 16 dogs in 26th position. Gary Willemeiser in 27th with 15 dogs as of 6:51 a.m.
And just to break in there for a second, Danae, I think it's actually 7:02 that Jerry Willemeiser left. 6:51 he was into Ophir. So he stayed not for very long in Ophir and then left at 7:02.
For about 11 minutes, he just hung out. And Raimi Smith followed after him at 8:27 with 13 dogs. And Kelly Griffin in 29th position left Ophir at 8:28 a.m. And Josh Katzow of Front Yukon left at 8:44 with 14 dogs.
Yeah, and we have a number more mushers who are out of Ophir and, again, not yet reported into Iditarod. At the top of that list is Jessica Hendricks, left Ophir at 8:45 with 14 dogs. Mike Williams Jr., left Ophir at 8:46, 14 dogs. Williams Jr. is in 32nd position. Robert Bunsen, out of Ophir at 8:56, full string of 16 dogs. Alan Moore, part of the same kennel and part of the same marriage with Allie Zirkel, left Ophir at 8:56 with 13 dogs. Mike Williams Sr., out of Ophir at 11:59 with 15 dogs. And rounding out that pack in 41st and 42nd position is Christy and Anna Barrington. And they left Ophir at 3:45, both of them at 3:45. Christy has 14 dogs and Anna Barrington has 13 dogs at the moment. And this just in, Dine, we have in 43rd position Richie Deal out of Ophir at 4:46 p.m., and Richie Deal dropping a dog down to 14. We have five mushers who are in to Ophir, but not yet out. And again, we're kind of still juggling some of the numbers here, but let's hear about some of those. We have Jody Bailey to start.
Jody Bailey with 11 dogs is still in Ophir, and Mike Ellis with 14 dogs. We also have Travis Beals with 15 dogs as of 2:46 p.m. And then we have seven mushers on their way from Takotna to Ophir. In 48th position, we have the Russian Mikhail Telpin, who, again, is racing with Russian work dogs, not dated rod, the small, the skinny dogs. And he is in 48th right. position on his way to Ophir. And also NEX Richie Deal is on his way to Ophir.
And actually, again, quick correction there, Richie Deal, this is brand new information, but he just left Ophir at 4:46. So I think Iditarod kind of lost him for a moment and then kind of caught up. So Richie Deal is actually a little bit higher up in the standings there.
That's right. That's an exciting part of the race, that it's constantly updating. So
right.
if you blink one moment, it's like, oh, Marshall's actually farther ahead than you thought they would.
Yeah.
Ruthven Moskiets also, and the chunk of mushers on their way to Ophir, as well as Louis Ambrose of St. Michael in 53rd position with 14 dogs.
All right, very good. We have Gerald Souza also, and actually Louis Ambrose, just looking at my information here, Dine, it looks like he is still in Takotna. He got in at 8:57. He's got 14 dogs. Gerald Souza also is in Takotna at 1:01 arrived this afternoon with 11 dogs. and Cindy Galley. Don't want to forget her. She was kind of in the fold of my race sheet here, Dinah, but she arrived in Titicaca a little bit before Louis Ambrose and Gerald Souza. She arrived at 7:30 this evening with 14 dogs.
And Louis Ambrose actually arrived last night, so he might be taking his 24-hour layover in Titicaca right now.
That's right. And actually, I have a correction there, too. Again, we're kind of shuffling this information as it comes in. Cindy Galley arrived last night, as you said, so she's likely taking her 24 as well and will probably leave later tonight. We have seven mushers who are rounding out this last great race, and those include Michael Supernaut into McGrath at 9:52 with 13 dogs. We have Jan Steves into McGrath at 10:05 with 16 dogs. And again, these are both last night. So they're probably taking their 24 in McGrath, almost certainly taking that 24 in McGrath. We have Bob Klupach, into McGrath at 10:56 last night, 13 dogs. And right now, our red lantern is Cindy Abbott. She is a rookie, and she arrived in McGrath at 7:43 this morning, and she has 14 dogs. 62 mushers still on the trail. And as of just a few minutes ago, Dinah, we have information on a scratch. And that is, unfortunately, of a musher that a lot of folks have some interest in and some affinity for. But Newton Marshall of Jamaica has scratched in this Iditarod 2013.
It looks like one of his dogs went loose. His dog, May, well, he was on his way from Nikolai. Dog went loose. Both he and the Iditarod Trail Committee are currently trying to help him locate his dog. So as of 3:20 p.m. this afternoon, he had to scratch because he has lost the dog.
Okay.
Literally.
Yeah. So, like, he's not able to find the dog on the trail and kind of stopping to figure out where the dog might be. And unfortunately, this sometimes does happen on the Iditarod Trail. As we're going forward, Dinah, we're going from, again, for most of these mushers, from Ophir to Iditarod, Iditarod to Shagaluk, Shagaluk to Anvik, and then hitting the Yukon there. What weather are we kind of looking at as we're going forward?
Well, it's pretty warm right now. It's
okay.
39 degrees in Iditarod.
Right. And something above the freezing point really is, again, folks might hear 39 degrees and think, oh, it's still kind of chilly. But again, they're mushing on snow. And for traveling through those areas of the country, some of those dogs are not, you know, they're used to 0 degrees. They're used to 10 below. So 39 is pretty warm.
It's pretty warm and pretty mushy.
Right.
So it's 39 degrees in Iditarod with a visibility of 10 miles. For those mushers who are going to be heading from Iditarod into Shagaluk tonight and tomorrow morning, it's just a winter weather advisory in effect until midnight tonight. And tomorrow, expect mostly cloudy skies and a chance of snow, a low of 27 degrees, but with a wind chill of down to 12 degrees. And winds from the north, 20 to 30 miles an hour, gusting to 35.
Okay, so again, pretty windy as well, hitting those teams as they're mushing along. So again, just to recap, we have 62 mushers still on the trail. As we just mentioned, some warm weather that's probably going to be hitting those mushers. Different teams going to react to that in different ways, and some winds to deal with as well. Going to be keeping an eye on the first musher into Anvik, wins that prize and that lavish meal at the Anvik checkpoint. Sometimes mushers will elect not to have the meal, Dinah. They'll definitely take the money.
it depends on how the race is going. If they have someone right behind them, they might just want to dart out of Anvik and
right.
Leave their meal behind.
Right. Maybe give it to the next person, or maybe they find a buddy maybe in the trail checkpoint that would rather have the meal instead. But again, the first person to Anvik, the first person officially to the Yukon takes that prize. And as we go forward, I'm just going to be kind of looking at, I want to say we have three different kind of major packs of mushers. We have Martin Boozer, obviously, out in front. He's taken his 24, and he has a lead for the time being, at least. But Lance Mackey, you know, might have a real advantage in terms of resting during some of this worse weather, some of this non-ideal weather, the warmer weather, the windy weather. Lance Mackey's taken his 24 this whole time. So he might be kind of resting at a pretty advantageous moment. And then Aaron Burmeister, Mitch Seavey, that pack who has taken their 24, maybe not quite as far up in the race standings, but they're definitely a teams to watch as well going forward. And as Lorelei Kinnean mentioned, it's kind of that race to the Yukon River and race along the Yukon that's going to be happening tomorrow.
Most marshers at this point have already taken their 24-hour break. So you have to put into consideration those marshers who are currently taking their break and are waiting, whereas those marshers are who have already taken their 24, they might just come right through Iditarod and pass
right
straight to the next stop.
Exactly. And again, looking at the race sheet of people who have taken the 24, I'm interested to see Aaron Burmeister when he makes that next move. He's taken the 24 already. So at this point, his next move is really kind of dependent on his well-being, his dog's well-being, where he kind of feels himself in the context of this race. So again, thank you, Danae, for all the insights here. We're going to be following all 62 of these mushers as they get closer to the Yukon and then to the Norton Sound and to Nome. Stay tuned after this update for a full interview with Martin Boozer. He's in the Iditarod Checkpoint. For more KNOM Iditarod coverage, visit us on the World Wide Web at knom.org. And the next KNOM Iditarod update will be at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. And Dainé, have a good night.
Goodbye, David.
KNOM takes you on the trail.